Exodus chapter 20. We'll continue to go verse by verse through the law here in the Old Testament. One little verse this morning, it's one that's very familiar, but very important. Just four little words, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not kill. You say, not going to preach on me today. But you know, usually that's not how it works out. Is it? You know, mankind has been forever killing each other. I mean, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis and there's only four people around and one of them gets murdered. Isn't that amazing? And we live in the same type of murderous society. And really it just proves man's depravity that he would want to take someone else's life. I've got good news, though, that when Jesus comes, that'll stop. Yes. When he comes and he takes over, of course, there'll be a lot of bloodshed when he comes as he takes charge of this world, but there'll be no more murders. There'll be no more violence in the land. Jesus, isn't it amazing what man really says he wants? Jesus will provide, but they don't want Jesus. Jesus has a plan for a perfect society of peace. That is, just let him take charge and there'll be peace. But people don't want Jesus to be in charge. Therefore, they have violence and murder and sin and all the things of our depraved society that go around us today. I want to say this, that God values human life, or he wouldn't have made this commandment. He puts a high priority on life. God's interested in your life. You know, even if you're wicked today, if you've broken all the commandments and you hate God, the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. God puts a high value on the life of even sinners that don't want to have anything to do with him. And Jesus, of course, shed his blood that we all might be saved, even though that we are all sinners. And he values human life because we're created in his image. Now, there are some people that look at this commandment and they say, well, this sixth commandment means that if you do this, you go to hell. If you kill somebody, you'll go to hell. Isn't it strange how people do that? They would never do that for the other commandments. But they would pick one of the commandments and say, now if you break that one, you'll go to hell. It's sort of like the problem in the Catholic Church where they have, you know, mortal sins or venial sins. They distinguish between the severity of how God looks in his punishment. But the truth is that sin, if you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell. It doesn't matter what one you break. If you don't get to Jesus Christ, whatever you've broken in God's law, it's going to be enough to condemn you. So it doesn't matter which one. And a lot of people try to justify themselves. They say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. I think I'll go to heaven. Why is that? Well, I've never killed anybody. And man, there's a lot more commandments in here than just that one. And the Bible says if you broke one of the commandments, you're guilty of them all. That's James 2:10. That's a hard thing. That means if you've stolen something, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. If you've stolen something, you're also guilty of killing. Now that's hard for people to accept, but that's true. As a matter of fact, every one of us are murderers. We're all murderers. And if for the very fact that, you know, Jesus Christ was murdered. They killed him. They killed the Prince of Life. They killed the Prince of Glory. And really, it wasn't just the Jewish people that killed him and murdered him. It wasn't just the Roman people that killed him and murdered him. It was you and I, because the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and he bore our sins in his own body on that tree. And so our sins nailed him there. And whether we want to accept that or people want to acknowledge that, we are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord because he died because of what you've done and what I've done. You said, well, I wasn't there. Well, I mean, there's the thing. Okay, you weren't there, but why would you continue to engage in things that put him there? Why would I embrace something that killed Jesus Christ? Why would I embrace the sin that nailed him to the tree? That's why we should hate sin, because it crucified Jesus Christ. But our murder, suicide, all that killing, thou falls under thou shalt not kill. And Jesus Christ offers life and not death. And Jesus Christ offers forgiveness in spite of how wicked we are. Now, as we look through this, it's very important we do look through this today. I want to first of all tell you what this is not. Okay? What is this commandment not saying? Look in the same chapter and drop down to verse number 24. Because this is important, because people twist the things of God and they don't think them through and they don't read any other verses. When it says, thou shalt not kill, what is he not saying here? He says in verse number 24 of the same chapter, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. So God, in the same chapter that he says don't kill, he tells them to take animals and sacrifice them. Are you with me? So he's not talking about killing animals. Okay? Because if you understand how we started the study of the Ten Commandments, the first commandments are speaking of man's relationship to God. The last table of the commandments are speaking of man's relationship to man. Some of these people, these animal rights people that talk about how terrible it is to kill an animal, don't understand that they also kill plants. You know, however you cut it, something has to die for you to live. Whether it's a potato, amen, or a cow. You're not gonna live without something dying. You know that's also true about eternal life. Jesus had to die for you to live. And you've got to receive him and the sacrifice that he made. So the first thing I want to get very clear, he's not talking about animals. And these people today that are so mixed up in our society, they really think if you kill an animal, you've murdered somebody. And they think it's a violation of God's commandments. And that's not the same God that said verse number 13 said verse number 24. So he's obviously not talking about killing animals. God, animals are not people. I know that's a revelation to some people in this world. Animals are not people. They do not have a soul. So it's different when they die than when human beings die. And God created them and gave them here for our own provision. He tells us that in the Bible many, many occasions. So you have to say this in a world that's gone mad. Also, thou shalt not kill does not mean, well, just look at chapter 22 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 2. He says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood. There shall no blood be shed for him. So it does not include self-defense or protecting yourself or your family. That's also a very important point to understand. There's nothing wrong with protecting your family or yourself, or self-defense is built into the Bible. You have every right to defend yourself. Somebody tries to hurt you, your family, or take your life. You've got every right to even kill that individual. This indication, if the thief is breaking up and he's in your house, you've got every right. Now, I think that's still the basis of some of our laws in America. Now, they may change that very soon, but so it's not a condemnation of self-defense. Also, look at chapter 21. Chapter 21, the Bible says in verse number 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die, watch it, shall be surely put to death. Do you see that? So the, now we're in the same context of thou shalt not kill. We've just the same chapter in the next two chapters. So he says this, if somebody kills another individual, if someone murders someone else, then that individual is to be put to death. So capital punishment is not a violation of thou shalt not kill, because the very next chapter he says if someone is murdered, then the person that did the murdering is to be killed. That's very important to understand as well. Look at Genesis chapter 9, because there's no value on human life if you don't do that. We live in a society where there is no consequence for people's actions. And yet, with God, there always is. When Noah got off the ark and God made a covenant with him, this is what he said. It's still in effect today. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 9, in verse number 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. You see right there, so even if an animal kills a man, the animal's to be put to death. If a man kills a man, then the man that committed that crime is to be put to death. Why? Because God values human life, and there is a consequence of sin. Isn't it strange how our society is trying to get rid of that? No wonder we have so much blood in our streets when you take the condemnation and the judgment away from those who commit murder and the punishment that God... No wonder you have a murderous society. As a matter of fact, look at Genesis chapter 4, that first murder when Cain killed his brother Abel. Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 10, God says to the murderer, Cain, Genesis 4:10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. The Bible says that Abel's blood was crying from the ground. Now, if that's still true today, how much crying do you think is going up before God of people that have been murdered? You know what the consequence is? It's the judgment of God. I won't read it for you, but I'll give you the verse. Numbers chapter 35, verse 33 says, if there's a nation or society where people are murdered and they do not put those people to death, then the land is polluted, the land is defiled, and it cannot be cleansed. Listen, it cannot be cleansed until the murderer is put to death. You know what that means? That means the United States of America, our land is polluted. Our land is defiled. And it can never be cleansed until the murderers are put to death. And we've got death rows that are full of murderers. Matter of fact, we've got murderers that they let out of their cells because of COVID. Because they didn't want them to die in prison. That's mixed up, isn't it? We have a society that doesn't value life. It doesn't value life, and it doesn't value eternal life. And God says, listen, if there is a punishment for taking a life, and if your nation and land has to do something about it, then the judgment of God is going to ensue upon your land. Ezekiel 36:18, I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they shed upon the land, the Bible says. Joel 3:19, Egypt shall be a desolation, Edom a desolate wilderness, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Think about all the homicides in our country. I studied a little bit of that. I looked last year, 2020, of the statistics of the murders just in the top five cities of our nation. Last year there were 775 murders in Chicago. There were 499 murders in Philadelphia. There were 468 murders in New York City. There were 335 murders in Baltimore. And there were 327 murders in Detroit. Those are the top five cities. And every one of those statistics is somebody's son or somebody's daughter or somebody's wife or somebody's husband or somebody's grandparent. And we don't put to death, I bet we don't put to death in this country 10 people a year. And there are thousands of people that are murdered in our country. And so when it goes on like that, we should not have a question as to why, because people have gotten away from the Bible. And then, of course, they say, well, if you just take away all the guns, we wouldn't have murder. I remind you that those top cities I just gave you have the biggest gun laws in the country. And they have the biggest murder rate. Do you know what would happen if they took away everybody's gun in the United States of America? People would still be murdered. Even if they had to do it with knives. You know why? Because man is a murderer. And without God, he's capable of doing anything. Did you not see there in the news outlets how one of the members of parliament over in the United Kingdom, he was at church and somebody took a knife and killed him this past week. You can't have any guns. Well, it don't matter if you have. People will kill people with their bare fists if they have to. Cain didn't have a gun. He killed his brother. So, and it's sort of, it just, and I'm not trying to get political, but I will say this. These liberals and progressives, they've got the worst murderous cities in America. They just need to shut up is what they need to do. And until people start putting people to death that kill people, we're never going to get rid of murder. Sad. But not just that homicide rate. I just read you where the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So something is alive if blood is running through its body. You know those little babies in the womb, blood's flowing through their bodies? And they're alive. Those babies that have never been born. As a matter of fact, God is involved in those babies in the wombs. The Bible said in Job 31:15, did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? Psalm 139:13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He said of John the Baptist in Luke 1:15, he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I don't think God fills animals or inanimate objects with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, In that same chapter of Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth, who is the mother of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is in her womb, and she's, watch it, 6 months pregnant. Yeah, right. Just 6 months pregnant. And she goes to meet Mary, who has had the Holy Ghost has just conceived the Son of Man in her womb, and she comes to meet Mary, and when she meets Mary, she's 6 months along, and the Bible says, as soon as she met the mother of our Lord, the babe leaped in her womb. And two times God called what was in her womb a baby. Not a fetus. It's not an inanimate object. God said it's a baby. Amen. And in our society, they're killing them just like cutting cordwood. You know why? Because of sin. They didn't want the baby. Well, if you'd done what God said and only had relationships inside of marriage, it wouldn't be a problem. But you know what the problem is today? People, and our society is getting this way, they're going to start aborting babies just because they don't have the right eye color. Wonder what God really thinks of our country. All the millions of babies that have been destroyed. God says, these things I hate. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I read some of these stories. I put it on the screen for you last year sometime when they were talking about all this stuff, make it political. All these people in Chicago, all these little children getting shot. They didn't hurt anybody. And yet nobody cares. You know why? Because we have a society that doesn't value life. Satan is a baby killer, by the way. The Bible says that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. By the way, the devil wants to kill you. And he not only wants to kill you physically, he wants to take you to hell, and he's going to work overtime to do that. The Bible tells us that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and the people that Satan works through, he uses them to take other people's lives. He said, preacher, why are all these mass shootings? Because the devil's in people. We need to be angry at how the devil's grabbed people's lives and controlled people's lives. Why all the suicide rate? Because the devil's in people. He wants to destroy man's life. And Jesus wants to save people's lives. He got into Pharaoh's heart and had Pharaoh kill all those children in Egypt. He got into Herod's heart, the devil did, and killed all those people in Bethlehem, all those children. He got into Hitler's heart and killed all those babies. And he's in the heart, the devil's in the heart of every liberal and progressive that's trying to kill the unborn. It's devilish. Thou shalt not kill, the Bible says. That includes babies. Well, you said, preacher, I've never done that. By the way, if you've done that, you know what also I'm glad of? That God is such a forgiving God that He can forgive you of killing. He can forgive you of adultery. He can forgive you of stealing. He can forgive you of breaking all the commandments. If you'll come to Him by faith and believe on His name and trust Him and repent, He can wash all that sin away. It's not just bad news, it's good news. God's bigger than the sin of our society. But look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 5. What is this commandment? Well, it's homicide. It's infanticide, which is another name for abortion. But it's something else. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking, and He references this commandment. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 21. Here's Jesus' comment on the sixth commandment. Matthew 5:21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. That's what we're preaching on this morning. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. We've seen from the Bible what that judgment is. It's death. Verse 22, but I say unto you, see, Jesus is not only going to confirm the wickedness of society that murders people, He's also going to go a step farther, showing us our own sin, we who have never killed anybody and never intend to. He says in verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Boy, that raises the stakes, doesn't it? You know what the truth is here this morning? I don't know if anybody in here has had an abortion. You might be surprised some of the people God's forgiven of committing certain sins. I don't know if anybody in here has ever killed anybody. Physically. But this is what I do know. Every person in this building this morning, at some point in your life, has been guilty of being angry with somebody without a cause. And if you think you hadn't, you need to come down and repent of lying to yourself. If you think you've always had a good reason to be mad, you're wrong. Now, why did Jesus say this? Look at Matthew 15 while you're there. Matthew chapter 15. He brings up this thought of anger. Because, you know, look, all these people in society that are killing people, I tell you what, I was watching the football game last night, and I thought somebody was going to get killed last night. Did y'all see that Tennessee football game? I thought, I'm not kidding you, and somebody may have got killed after the game. Somebody got killed after the game with Alabama and Texas A&M last week. Somebody got shot and killed over the game. And I thought that was going to happen last night. People throwing stuff, screaming on the field. I thought they were going to rush on the field and start killing the referees. Crazy people. You know why? Why? Because they're angry. That anger that's in our hearts, left unchecked, leads to all sorts of things. And all of us have that issue. And all of us have committed that sin. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, watch it, verse number 19. Matthew 15, verse 19. Jesus says, for out of the heart, watch it. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. All these are physical things you do. But Jesus said, all that stuff comes out of your heart. In other words, you got murder in your heart before you kill somebody. You got anger in your heart before you take out. Some people mad at society. Some people mad at their parents. Some people mad at their spouses. Some people mad at their friends. Some people just mad at God and mad, period. And the end of all those things is the end of all sin anyway. It's death. Because when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You said, preacher, why do we have so much murder in America? Is it because people carrying guns? People were carrying guns when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and 1,000 people weren't getting killed in Chicago. It's a heart problem. Murder is in people's hearts. And the truth is, every one of us have a heart problem. And maybe some of your anger is suppressed. But I tell you what, don't ever say, I'll never do such. If you get mad enough, only God knows what you'll do. That's exactly right. You know why? Because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and we don't even know what we're capable of. I don't think Cain got up that morning and said, I want to kill my brother. Something happened that triggered the anger in his heart, and he didn't plan on it, but he got so mad he couldn't stand that God rejected his gift and accepted his brother's gift, and he went and killed him. Because of the anger and the murder that was in his heart. That anger that lies in your heart and you don't think it's such a big deal. It's a bigger deal than what you think it is. As a matter of fact, I want to turn to one other verse. Would you go to 1 John chapter 3? If this wasn't in the Bible, you wouldn't believe it. And this is a good reason why we ought to be good witnesses to people. And the Bible says that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the reason that people aren't saved, just to be very frank and honest with you, the reason that people don't get saved, one of the greatest reasons is they just don't think they're bad enough. They don't think they're guilty. They really don't think I'm bad enough that I need to repent and come to Jesus Christ and ask him for salvation, because I'm not that bad of a person. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than these other people I see on TV. And they really don't understand the wickedness of their own heart. And if we'll go through the Ten Commandments do, if they do anything well, they do this well. They show every one of us how guilty we are. 1 John chapter 3, watch this. Verse 15. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a what? Is a murderer. So when people say, I've never killed anybody, in the sight of God you have, because there's somebody you hated. There's somebody that you have been so contrary against that you've got, oh, well, I've never killed. He said, if there's hatred in your heart, then there's murder in your heart. If there's anger in your heart, there's murder in your heart. And you need to get cleansed of that. You're here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. You've never been born again. You think you're a pretty good guy. I'm telling you what, this morning, that hatred in your life or anger in your life at any point in your life is enough to take you to a devil's hell. And you better get to the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, because we're all guilty and we're all sinful. It's not just people killing the baby, and it's not just people that are shooting the kids in Chicago. All that anger and wrath that's in our heart is just as guilty before God, and we need Him to cleanse us of it. Boy, wouldn't it be good if everybody had joy in their heart instead of anger in their heart? You know where the joy comes from? It comes from Jesus. You know where the gladness comes from? It comes from God. And you know where that hatred and that anger and that murder comes from? It comes from an old selfish heart that's full of the flesh and full of the devil. You know what you need? What we need to do today? We need to ask God's mercy on our country for all the guilt that we have in our nation. The blood's crying from the ground, people. Crying for vengeance. We ought to go to God and confess the sin of your nation like Daniel did. Daniel didn't do anything wrong, but he confessed the sin of his own nation. You know what else we need to do? We ought not be so self-righteous that we don't see the iniquity on our own hearts of the hatred and the anger that lies there, because it'll destroy you. You know how many people hate God this morning? Hate the church. Hate the Bible. Hate their parents. Their whole life is just hate, hate, hate. Somebody needs to get to Jesus. Amen. Let Him wash that real good and put His love and joy and peace on the inside. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, do you have the life of the Lord Jesus? Do you know that you're saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior because you're guilty? If you've not, we're all guilty. If you've never come to Christ by faith, you're guilty this morning. If you said, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I do know I'm a sinner, and I'll acknowledge that. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you raise your hand? Anybody this morning, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know that I'm a sinner today. Anybody this morning? Okay, dear Christian friend, how about your heart this morning? You need to get some anger and wrath out of it? Let's bring it to Jesus.